Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 6, day 5. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about John 12, 37 through 50. You can find show notes at 10weekbible.com/John Week 6. Thanks for joining me today on the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I encourage all my listeners to read the book of John once a week for 10 weeks as we go through this. You really will be amazed at the benefits of repetition. Let's pray before we start. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today? God, give us revelation of your heart. Let us know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's jump into John. I'll be reading from the NIV. This is John 12, 37. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe, because, as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. So let's pause right there. I find this so fascinating, so amazing. Why would God prophesy in advance that people wouldn't believe Jesus' message? And why would it be based on Isaiah seeing Jesus' glory? Why did Isaiah seeing Jesus' glory have anything to do with people not believing in him? This is just so amazing to me. Why would people choose not to believe in Jesus and God after having seen the miracles and all of these things? And yet that's exactly what John tells us here, is after seeing all the miracles that Jesus had done, all the things, all the amazing things that he'd done, people refused to believe in him. And it really came down to the hard things that he taught. It was, him basically challenging what they knew at the time. They chose not to believe in him. And that has been true all throughout human history. People will believe for miracles. People will believe for nice things being done for them. But when something is difficult, when they're told something difficult that's hard for them to accept, it doesn't matter how many miracles, how many nice things you've done for them. If they don't want to accept something difficult, they won't do it. But what I find amazing about this is that God prophesied this in advance. A long time ago, he prophesied that people's eyes would be blind and that God would come and do these things specifically to blind their eyes. Why would God want to blind people's eyes? This is fascinating to me. And, I believe it comes down to the fact that, and I've kind of held this belief about God and Scripture for a very long time, is God will give you a way out. If you don't want to believe in him, if you want to discount everything that you see with your eyes, he will give you a way out. All throughout Scripture, there are ways out for people not to believe in him. Some of the most fascinating things, I think, in Scripture are in Revelation, where the miracles and the spectacular are off the charts, absolutely off the charts in the book of Revelation. Everybody on earth, at one point, John tells us that they see heaven opened up like a scroll and that they see God, yet they still refuse to believe in him. And in fact, they blaspheme his name. That is amazing to me, absolutely unfathomable to me, that people would see that and choose to not only not believe in God, but reject him and fight against him. That's what we see in Revelation. And yet that's what we've seen throughout human history. And God will make a way out for you. He won't just allow you a way out. If you want a way out from believing in him, he will give it to you. He will make it easy for you. Now, I believe he makes it easy for us to come to him. All it takes is a humble heart. Now, that might be difficult for some people, but in the grand scheme of things, considering the punishment, the separation that we face, humility is a small price to pay for reconciliation with God. humbling our hearts and drawing near to him, I believe is a small price to pay for getting to spend eternity with him. So when it says he blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, I think what we're looking at here is something like what God did with Pharaoh. Is in the book of Exodus, it's very specific. The first few plagues, it said Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then it switches and said God hardened Pharaoh's heart. I think we're given opportunities to reject God. But at some point, it seems like we no longer have that opportunity to reject God. He will take it away from us and he will insist on the rejection. Now, I don't know how that works. In the sovereignty of God, I don't understand all of these things. And I don't think we need to work too terribly difficult to try and figure all that out. God is good. That is where we need to fall. That is the truth that we need to fall on every single time when we're wrestling with these issues, is that God is good. And we want to fall into his goodness. We always want to fall into God's goodness. And how all these things work, I don't know. So when Jesus gives us hard sayings like this, we need to fall into his goodness and trust him. Sometimes these things sound so harsh that they cause offense in us. But let me tell you, it's much better to deal with that offense. Be offended and be honest with God. Tell him you're offended. What's happening here is people have been offended by what Jesus has taught them. And instead of going to Jesus and saying, this is offensive to me, they basically said, you know, what do I do about it? They came to him and said, this is offensive. I'm gone. I'm leaving. I don't like this. Goodbye. And we don't ever want to fall in that place. We want to be honest in our offense. If we're offended, we want to be honest about that. But we don't ever want to be in a place where we're honest about our offense and then we leave. We want to bring our offenses to God, not allow our offenses to drive us away from God. If you're offended, and if you're not offended by things in the book of John, I encourage you to read it again and read it again and open your mind up and allow yourself to be honest. Many times people aren't honest with themselves because they've been taught or they pick up this understanding or this idea along the way in life that we need to just tell God what we think he wants to hear. And he's a pretty smart guy. God's a pretty smart guy. He sees through that. So it's much better to be honest with him, to tell him exactly how we feel. If we're angry, tell him that. If you're offended, tell him that. But take it to him. Don't wrestle with it alone. Don't allow anger to cause you to leave God or go away from God. Allow it to take you and cause you to go closer to him. So let's go ahead and jump back into this. Verse 42. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. Because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. But they loved human praise more than the praise of God. Let's pause there. That's a sad statement. It's definitely part of human nature. It's definitely an aspect of human nature, but it's a sad statement that we're so dependent on human praise. We're so dependent on people saying nice things about us that we would rather have the praise of man than the praise of God. But it's human nature, and we need to look inside of ourselves and see where that's the truth and ask the Lord to reveal those things in us. Back to verse 44. Then Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light so that no one believes in me should stay in darkness." Now I want to pause there again. This is a bit of a paradox because here he's saying, whoever believes in me believes not only me only, but if you believe in me, you have seen me. Whoever looks at me has seen me and has seen the one who sent me. So he's saying, you've seen God the Father. And it's so interesting because that's a paradox compared to what John said in chapter 1, is that no one at any time has ever seen God. Yet here we are being told by God that we've seen him. And Jesus says this multiple times in the book of John. And so this is a paradox that John is intentionally throwing in our face. He wants us to wrestle with this. He wants us to deal with this. He wants us to figure out what is going on here. We need to go to God. We need to go to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and ask, what is it that you're trying to say here? Why on earth would you tell us that, you know, that that we can't see you, but then again, here you tell us we can see you openly. It's so fascinating to me why John does this, the intentionality that Jesus has in this. Verse 47. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for it did not come into the world to I did not come to the to judge the world, but to save the world. Again, another paradox. Jesus has flip-flopped on this seemingly in John multiple times. It almost seems like he's saying, I don't judge. I do judge. I don't judge. And here again, he's saying, I don't judge. Verse 48, for there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his commands leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. So again, now here he's saying that the Father judges, not me. And this idea of judgment in John is so fascinating to me. It's a big deal in the book of John to rightly understand what Jesus is saying about judgment, who judges and why. And John is making a big point of this paradox here, where Jesus multiple times says, I don't judge, the Father judges. And then again, in other places, he says, the Father doesn't judge, I judge. And he goes back and forth. And it will cause you, the more you read this, it will rack your brain. It will cause you to just spin in circles trying to figure it out. But that's not the point. We don't want to try and figure this out. He is pushing us into a place where we can't figure it out on our own. He wants us to come to him and ask him, what is going on here? What is the nature of your judgment? How does it work, God? And why? Why would you want to judge the world? What is it that the world has that needs judgment? And how would I fall into that? How can I stay out of that? Go to the Lord and ask him those questions. Take these scriptures and meditate on them, pray over them. And remember, meditation happens not by forcing yourself into some kind of trance state or something like that, some kind of new agey thing. Meditation happens by filling your mind with the word of God over and over and over again. It's repetition. The more you read the scripture, the more you repeat this, the more you're going to get it in you. And that's why I encourage you, read the book of John once a week for 10 weeks or 20 weeks or keep going. If you're getting something out of it, if it's moving your heart, keep reading it. Keep engaging in it and let it move your heart. You will meditate on it on accident. It will just happen. You won't have to try. And that's where the power of this is. So I encourage you, spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in the book of John right now as we're going through this. Read it once a week for 10 weeks or even more. I guarantee you'll be blessed by what you get out of it. And these paradoxes, these things that kind of are meant to intentionally offend our sensibilities, you will start to, your heart will melt to them, and you'll find yourself asking, Lord, what on earth are you doing here? What is going on here? And that's the point of these things. They're not to be explained. They're invitations to dialogue with God. And if he wants to explain them to you in ways that you can understand, that's between you and God. But they're invitations to dialogue. They're not necessary for explanation, because a lot of times there is no explanation. They're invitations to dialogue. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm so glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes, and I'd also love to hear from you on my Facebook page. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back next time with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.